Welcome back, everybody, to Rantpocalypse Talks, The Walking Dead.
You're weird.
I'm weird, and I'm Justin, by the way.
Hey, and I'm Kelly, and I'm the mom, and he's the son.
That's right.
Fancy, huh? Fancy.
I am the son, and if you're listening to this in audio form, you're totally not getting what's going on right now.
we're pointing at each other,
yes.
Sort of.
We've got our fancy new studio set up, and it's fancy for us. Actually, I think it's pretty damn fancy for anybody.
I think so, too.
We're working through the kinks and everything, but just in case you are one of those audio-only listeners and you want to check out what the hell we are talking about, you can go find our YouTube channel. It is Rantpocalypse. Just go search for it on YouTube. I'm sure there's some other weird one that always pulls up. It's like, I can't even remember what it's called.
It's Rat.
Rantpocalypse. No, that's not us. We're not Rantpocalypse. We're Rantpocalypse.
They have like one video, and they still pull up first.
These sons of bitches with their Rantpocalypse.
Pisses me off. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've got like over 1,000 videos. Not really, but we're rapidly getting up there. I think we've got over like 200 and some odd videos.
Yeah, we're closing in on 300, so it's pretty close.
Pretty close. But yeah, so we're doing something different. We are recording our podcasts in video form as well as audio form. So if you're watching us on YouTube right now, that's what we're doing. We're going to record our entire podcast and hopefully you'll love it, because a lot of the times on the podcast, we talk about a lot of random shit before we get into The Walking Dead. But then once we get rolling into The Walking Dead, we have some pretty fun and good discussions about the show. So we're testing it out, see how it works. So hope you guys like it.
Yeah, the only problem is normally when we podcast, Justin can pick his nose. So he can't do that now because he's got a camera.
Can't do that. And I can't pass gas as well either anymore, because in audio form, you know, you can lift your leg up and lift your body.
Disgusting.
And, you know, now if somebody's watching the video, they're like, oh, okay. Man, Justin's like, yeah, exactly. I totally can't hide it now. So what we're going to do.
And by the way, also, before we get totally started.
Oh, my gosh.
We are having adult beverages. My beverage is a little bit bigger than yours.
Yeah, your drink is just, like, destroying mine. Here, cheers me, Mom.
Okay, ready? Here we go.
Beak.
Did we do it?
I think we got close enough, but then yours, like, disappeared behind me. I've got my bourbon and water, which I absolutely love. What are you drinking on?
It's rum, Captain Morgan, and Diet Coke, because I'm getting a little pudgy.
I gotta go to Diet Coke?
No, because I didn't have any regular Coke, so gotcha. It's Diet Coke.
I used to love doing the rum and Sprite. That was one of my all-time
favorites.
That's
gross.
No.
That's
You say it's gross, but try it out one time, and then
I hated it.
Well, you're not drinking enough of it, clearly. So that's the key difference right there, is you got to drink a whole lot of it. So it's been a while since we have chatted on in a podcast form for The Walking Dead. And before we get into it, what we're going to cover in this podcast, I'll go ahead and outline it so that way you'll know some of the things that you guys are going to get. We're going to talk about the Walking Dead violence topic. That's been a huge topic of debate amongst The Walking Dead fandom over the course of the break. So we're going to get into that. We're going to give you guys our thoughts on, you know, how we feel about all the shenanigans that has happened during the break on the violence stuff. Then we're going to get into PPP, what do we think it means and its significance. And then we're going to have something really, really awesome. It is the Walking Dead Fantasy Death Draft. We're getting in on this with Brains Gone Bad, the podcast that Kelly was guested on. That was about a month ago.
Yeah, I did about a month ago, and it's their Fantasy Five, and you still have time all the way up until I think the night before, so till Saturday night. You can, right?
I think it's like almost. I mean, as long as you get it in before the episode airs, I think you're good. And you can go to their Facebook page. We're going to post it on our Facebook page as well, like the whole Fantasy Death Draft. We'll probably post that as soon as this episode goes up on podcasts and YouTube and everything. You'll see our picks. You'll get our picks in video and audio form as well. But just in case, you'll get it there. You can play against us, even though you're sure to lose. We're gonna totally kick ass.
I know exactly. I think so. We need a trophy for this.
We do.
I actually think they have prizes that they normally give. The bad thing is we should have got in at the beginning of the season because there wasn't as many people playing. And for the second half of the season, I think they have a bigger group of people playing. So I'm like, damn it, more competition. That sucks. So
more competition to kick their ass, Mom. Think about it that way. So we're going to do our separate, though. We're going to have separate picks. So that way each week we can also compete against one another during the podcast, which will be a lot of fun. I'm very excited about that. And we'll get into all the rules of the Fantasy Death Draft here in a little bit as we get into that portion of this discussion. And again, you can go to, it's Brains Gone Bad Facebook, correct?
Yep. And that's the same as on iTunes. You can find their podcast on iTunes that way too. And they're super nice. You'll like them.
They are super nice. Once we get finished with that, we're going to get into listener feedback. I threw a topic out there on our Facebook of what do you guys want us to chat about? We got some really good responses, so we're going to get into that as well. But before we do that, I want to know what you've been watching, Mom, because I've been watching a whole hell of a lot of shit during the break.
Okay. Let's see. This is kind of embarrassing almost. It's not. It's a great show. I've been watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
Okay,
Where's one?
Oh, no, wait. I did watch some Santa Clarita Diet. I haven't finished the season yet.
Wait. Back to the Grey's Anatomy. Is that show still on?
Yeah, it is. It's in season
Holy crap.
12 or 13. So, they've got 263 episodes, 66 episodes.
Sweet Jesus.
It's insane. I'm still in the early. I'm in season 3, so everybody's young and hot still, so I'll probably give it up in a couple seasons.
That's way too daunting for me. I can never do that. When I see something on Netflix or Amazon Prime and I see take Grey's Anatomy or Supernatural, for example. And Supernatural, you're like, "Holy crap." There is like 15 seasons of Supernatural, so I can't do it. I'm defeated before I even start.
Oh, see, I'm completely the opposite. If I see something that doesn't have very many seasons, I don't want to watch it because I know I'm going to get invested. I like to have something that I can watch. I mean, I'm really weird. I get in my little weird rut of what I want to watch while I'm getting ready for work. What's going to put me to sleep at night? I can't watch The Walking Dead and go to bed, but Grey's Anatomy I can.
That puts you right to sleep, huh? What
no,
does that say about the show? It's like, what do I watch before I go to bed? Grey's Anatomy. It's the best sleep medicine of all times.
Hey, I did that with Shameless, which I know you love Shameless.
Yeah, I do. I love Shameless, and I love the fact that in Shameless, every beginning of the season, I feel like this happens. Without fail, whenever the season premiere happens, we see Emmy Rossum's boobies. Every time.
Premiere
episode, booby shot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sweet boy butt in there, too. So I'm all about the sweet boy butt.
Sweet boy butt?
Hey, you're talking about ass.
I was like,
sweet
okay, there you go. There you go, Mom. Yeah, the sweet boy butt sounds a little bit creepy there.
Hey, at least you didn't say it.
I'm all about that sweet boy butt.
Yeah. That would have been disgusting if you would have said it. So
slightly awkward for sure. No matter who says it, sweet boy butt's a little bit awkward, but
yeah. You're throwing some shit at what I'm watching. What have you been watching?
I've been watching all really good stuff. No offense to Grey's Anatomy or anything.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's only been on for 13 seasons. So tell me about your little shitty shows that make 2-3 seasons.
Okay. All right.
Come on.
I'll go through the list, and I want to get into Santa Clarita.
Oh my God! You have a list.
I have a.
Holy
of course,
crap.
I have a list. What other? I mean, you created this, and your son has a list. But okay, so let's kick it off. I just finished Colony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
Like, let's kick it off, everybody. Let's get right into the list.
With Justin's top 40 shows that he's been watching during the hiatus. All right, so did you watch both seasons of Colony?
I only caught up on the first season. It's on Netflix now. So I just finished the first season. Absolutely loved it. I feel bad because, wait, is the loser because you didn't like it, or is the loser because I'm just now catching up to it?
Because you just caught up.
Okay, I can take that. I can take that because I will admit, when I first saw, I watched like part of the premiere episode way back when it first came on. I think even before it came on, because I think they put it out like early on YouTube or something. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, this is whack. Like, I just do not like this at all. Even though I love Josh Holloway. He's the man.
Watch me before you say whack. And then when I'm taking a drink, you can't say those kind of words.
I can't say whack. That's I'm sorry. What's a better word for whack?
I don't know. But whack is fine. Just let me put my drink down.
Okay. Crack is whack, Mom.
All right.
Okay, yeah. So I did not like the first episode, but then I stuck with it, and oh my God, I really enjoyed the crap out of Colony. I thought it was such a fantastic first season. I loved the fact that there was so much mystery behind it, and when you really look at this season as a whole, it came down to just drama amongst this family. Like, it, you know, you got
that's what makes it fun.
No, I completely agree, and that's one of the things I think our show that we're about to talk about is really missing, is just like that. Those internal dramas amongst your group, as opposed to like always this external drama that's got to happen.
All right, wait a minute. What is the two factors that we're looking at here? Okay, Colony, Sarah Wayne Callies.
Yes.
Or Callies. However you say her last name. Yeah. Sarah Wayne. And when she was on The Walking Dead, there was a lot of great drama, family drama. We need to bring her back. That's all I'm trying to say. Bring back Lori.
Yeah. Bring back Lori Grimes, and you'll get lots of drama. I mean, now instead of between Shane and Rick, it could be between Negan and Rick.
Or between Lori and Michonne.
Even better, cat fights. I'm all about that. But yeah, Colony, fantastic. Love the first season. I'm excited to get into season two. Finished up The Magician season one. OMG, Mom.
I know. Wow. You said you loved that show. I mean, you get overly excited every time we talk about it. So
if you haven't seen the chicks on the show, holy crap.
Oh, okay. Lots of hot girls.
Trying to not get stabbed by the girlfriend.
Sweet girl booty.
Yes, Mom. Yes. You're 100% accurate on that one. And there's lots of sweet, you know, boy booty on there just for you. So,
thanks.
Yeah, no, it's a really good show, and it's super dark. It's basically if Harry Potter went super dark, and you know, it was really violent and lots of deaths and gore and it's fantastic. It looks like. You know, we always make fun of the CW. Not really make fun of it. We talk about how it's all the beautiful people on CW.
Everyone is pretty. Yeah. Everyone is pretty.
Everybody's pretty in this show. Dudes, girls, everybody's really pretty. The show's freaking amazing. It just started season two. Love the crap out of that. Legends of Tomorrow, I thought that show completely sucked. I was like, this was the worst. And then I watched it on Netflix, and I freaking loved it. Like, by the end of the season, I'm like, I need more. I need more Legends of Tomorrow. I love the cast. I loved everybody in the show. It was great.
Okay. I don't understand. How could you hate it in one place and it in another?
Same thing with The Colony. I thought it was super lame because I just like watched one episode and it was like super corny and hokey.
Wasn't. Not even the first episode was not.
Not Colony. Not Colony. Okay. Legends of Tomorrow was. Yeah. Okay. No Colony. I just kind of wrote it off as I was like, it's USA, yeah, Mr. Robot's really good on USA, but some of the times when they try to do like sci-fi stuff on USA,
I'm a hater.
I'm embracing my villain role in 2017. That was my goal in life. We talked about this the other day, is that you know, in wrestling they have the heel, which is always the bad guy that comes in and you know, knocks the champ over the head with the chair or you know, does something despicable. That's going to be me in 2017.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah, I told you to embrace your asshole is what I told you. Wait a minute. Damn it.
I can't make this shit up, people. Like, I mean, come on. That's my mom's 2 for 2 tonight. Embrace your asshole. Embrace it, people. Just get in there and embrace it.
What does that look like? Oh God! The bad thing about doing video while we do the podcast is you can see me spit on myself. Yeah, that's just great.
Spitting everywhere.
That's nice.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's Okay. Fine.
All right.
Well, embrace being a jerk.
I'm gonna embrace my asshole and love Legends of Tomorrow in 2017. Right. The last two shows, Justified, goes without saying that show is fantastic. While we're talking about Justified, I wanted to bring this up to you. It was a comicbook.com article that Timothy Oliphant addresses Negan casting rumors. How would you have felt about Timothy Oliphant as Negan?
Well, one, I absolutely love him. So, I mean, I would have felt good just getting to see him on a weekly basis, that part. Yeah. But I don't think he's right for the character. I honestly... I feel like they have the perfect casting with Jeffrey Dean Morgan because of his charm.
I agree. I mean, you watch him. I think he was just on Live with Kelly or whatever it's called now.
Oh yeah.
I know it's no longer Michael and Kelly. It's not Regis and Kelly. It's just Live with Kelly now, I guess. And he's actually co-hosted a few times now, and they have really, really good chemistry together. But you're totally right. I mean, he has the charisma. He's got the charm. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he is a like a smirky asshole too at the same time.
Yeah,
and he's
is.
And he's funny at the same time as well. So no, I completely agree with you. But
and let me just say this. Yeah. Let me just say this real quick. Part of the reason I've loved Grey's Anatomy so much is because he had a recurring character on there.
Who?
Oh, God, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan is so beautiful.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Oh, is that?
You know, I mean, this is like 10 years ago.
Long.
I mean, that's part of it. I'm sorry.
I think you're going to have a new love of, like, a new love affair with Negan in the back half of season 7 now that you have watched him on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and he was a very smart-assy on there, too, and just his wisecracking self, but he was really sweet as well. So I don't know. It's just So I get more and more appreciation every show I start to watch. Like when I watched The Good Wife, suddenly you see Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You watch Supernatural. There's Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I mean, it's just he's everywhere. So
see,
he's pretty awesome.
I've barely watched anything of his TV show wise. I know him from The Watchmen, as you know, he played the comedian in The Watchmen, and then I knew him from, I think it was The Losers, which is another really like fun action-y. Well, actually, I can't say action-y because it was like full of action. It was badass.
Well, and it's not a word.
Yeah, well,
action-y is not a word.
I'm gonna say it is. It is totally a word. You just add
a Y to everything.
Yeah, a Y to everything. But yeah, that's what I remember him from. I don't remember him from like all these TV shows, which that's where the majority of Americans know him from. Is all these TV shows. So whenever I was like, they're casting Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I was like, oh my God, they're casting the fucking comedian from Watchmen. Right. That was my first like go-to for Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But according to this article from comicbook.com, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's competition was Garrett Dillahunt, Matt Dillon, and Timothy Oliphant, according to the shortlist reports. However, Oliphant was recently asked by Digital Spy if he was ever invited to screen test or audition for the role, and the actor says it never happened. I'm not familiar with it, Oliphant said. I mean, I know it exists, and I hear it's great, but if somebody offered me a part in The Walking Dead, I never heard about it.
Well, and one of the actors that we thought would have been great was John Hamm.
Yeah.
He would have also been pretty freaking amazing. And he had actually a little bit more of a Negan look.
Yes.
If you're going by the comic book.
I think so as well. And to me, I feel like he could have been maybe a little bit more menacing in the sense of, I see this evil side of John Hamm that's just like ready to break out and bash people over the head with the bat. I can definitely see him doing that. So don't know. I thought that was interesting because I had been watching Justified, and
and that's funny that he didn't know about it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty sure I'd like that paycheck. That's for sure. but yeah, Justified, freaking amazing. Other show, Penny Dreadful. Wow, like you got to get on some Penny Dreadful. It is so freaking good.
And it's one of those shows that I started watching it, and then you get busy doing something else. Like for us, it was about the time that we were doing 8 million podcasts a week.
Yes, exactly.
And so I was like, okay, I guess I can't watch any TV. Great, thanks.
Yeah, I've got to watch this one freaking show five times so I can exactly. Like, talk about it.
Yep, so I need to get back on that one. Yeah. But I'm just going to tell you, the better segue would have been if you would have said Penny Dreadful and then Justified, so we could have gone straight in from Timothy Oliphant into Santa Clarita Diet.
I know. I totally effed that one up. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I did watch the first two episodes of that show, and that is as far as I've made it thus far, and I barely made it past episode one.
Oh, because of the Nathan Fillion part?
No. Is that? I mean, that's like one of the one of the reasons why I barely made it past episode one. The other reasons were I thought it was absolute garbage.
I made it all the way through episode eight.
Okay, so you got like two more, yeah, right?
Yes, or one. I can't remember how many they did. If they 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. God, I love these actors so much.
Yeah, no, that was the disappointing thing.
Mm-hmm. But it gets a little more charm, and it really does pick up a few more interesting points as it goes along. But there was a little short stretch there between like, oh, I don't know, 3 and 6 that I thought, oh, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Wow.
You know, because, yeah. So, and it's so funny. The gore that's in The Walking Dead, I don't have any problem with it. I watch it.
No.
But the gore on, when it's real people, I don't know why I seem to have a real issue when they're not zombies.
No, I completely agree with you. It is, there is something about it where, you know, spoiler alert for the first episode of Santa Clarita Diet, but it's out there, like they've posted it on their social media page. Yeah. There's a part where Nathan Fillion is interacting with Drew Barrymore's character, and she has become a zombie, and she's hungry, and Nathan Fillion's coming on to her, and she freaking bites his fingers off.
Yeah.
In a really horrific way.
It is. I mean, it's just so, I mean, you know, it's slow. First, she's sucking on his fingers, and I guess she's trying to tenderize him.
Exactly.
And then suddenly, you know, it's, and, you know, he pulls his hand out. Okay, wait, since we got visual here, it's basically like this, and you're going, God dang it, you know, and it's so funny because I know Elizabeth from Brains Gone Bad podcast, she said the same thing. She couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it is weird. I guess you're right that it's more or less that this isn't a everyday scenario. I mean, like they're selling real estate, and all of a sudden some dude's getting his fingers bit off, and for me, like the vomit scene was way more disgusting than the hand, like the fingers being bit off. That was just grody.
And did you? This is what I did. I had. I posted it, the vomit scene, on my radio station Facebook page. And I felt really bad about it after I did it. But it was because one of my friends had posted on her Facebook page a vomit scene in her own real car. And
oh, that's
so
disgusting.
It was disgusting. And so all I was trying to do was a tease on Friday afternoon that on Monday we're going to talk about oversharing on Facebook, you know, and basically here's an and so I was just trying to use it as an example, but I grossed more people out, and I was like, wrong, Kelly, wrong, because that was atrocious. It was so bad.
Did you notice whenever that scene was going down that Timothy Oliphant was laughing during that scene?
I saw him kind of back up. Because obviously I had to I had to rewind a little bit because I was trying to get the perfect barf shot.
Oh, and, so you watched that multiple times.
Yeah. So,
man, you're a trooper.
And, you know, I don't know. Maybe if it looked more like corn or something. I don't know. It looked like diarrhea.
It looked like diarrhea straight out of your mouth. It was the one of the grossest vomits. I mean, kudos to them. They you know, the costume, makeup, whatever, special effects department, whoever does the vomit scenes.
The chief projectile vomit person did an excellent job.
Definitely excellent job. It was freaking disgusting. But yeah, for me, it totally took me out of the scene because, one, it was just ridiculous how much vomiting she was doing. But then Timothy Oliphant's like chuckling as she's dying, basically, because it seemed like he was like, what the fuck did I sign up for here? Like, this is Netflix. This is, you know, I'm used to seeing these shows on Netflix that are, you know, winning awards, House of Cards, and all these, you know, fantastic dramas and stuff. But to the show's credit, which I don't know if I can say it's to its credit, because with episodes 3 through 6 kind of stinking the joint up as well, I thought episode 2 was much better because my girlfriend's like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. This show sucks. And I was like, all right, we did a trailer reaction for it on the YouTube channel, and I was like, I got to stick with it a little bit longer than one episode. So I watched episode 2, and it was crazy how much better episode 2 was than one. To me, I don't know why they kept that as the pilot. They should have reworked that episode and made it better, because I know there's got to be a lot of people that said, that's it, I'm out. Like, this show is stupid. You know, I'm not going to stick with this.
I think part of the deal is when you can marathon something, I think you will stick with it a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. If I had to wait until the next week to get it, I wouldn't have watched it.
No.
Oh, that is such a lie. I mean, Timothy Oliphant's in it. I'm going to watch anything he's in. So that was a lie. But great. I wouldn't have liked it. Yeah. I would have watched it, but I wouldn't have liked it. And the sad thing is we've got a show that's really similar to that, and that's iZombie. And iZombie is so damn good.
Yeah.
So good. It has its, you know, its tense moments. It has, I mean, it's got the same stuff as far as, you know, chopping up.
Yeah.
You know, the main character is a zombie. She has to eat people. Luckily, she works in the coroner's office, so she can eat brains. But it doesn't bother me when they see all these great chef scenes and different ways to you know, fry up these brains. But it's got a lot of great tension in it, a lot of good comedy, romance. I mean, that's an excellent show, and I thought this was going to be somewhat similar.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's not. So at least so far, it's not.
Well, you only got like one more episode left, so it sounds to me like it's not going to be that, which sadly, I think CW is doing everything within the possibility of them trying to cancel iZombie. It's like they're trying to just shit on that show, which I don't understand, which I like Riverdale, which Riverdale is basically Vampire Diaries, but with Archie Comics thrown in. You know, lots
is
of
that
really
still
good
on?
People. Well, no, it's new. Riverdale's brand new. Well, yeah, Vampire Diaries, yes, this is its final season. It's being put out to pasture, basically.
I watched that a long, long time ago.
Well, you need to watch it because your son is in it at some point. One of the episodes, I'm in Vampire Diaries, so you need to catch up.
Okay, if you couldn't watch it to see yourself.
Hell no, I ain't watching that show. No,
yeah, it was a lot of fun at first, but
True Blood. So was True Blood.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, lots of shows that were really good at first, and then they turned out really, really crappy towards the end. But let us know what you guys think of those shows. Santa Clarita Diet, you know, all the other shows we talked about, Penny Dreadful, lots of good stuff that I've been watching on Netflix and Amazon Prime. My mom, not so much, you know. The one or two people out there that watch Grey's Anatomy with my mom.
Oh, exactly. Those one or two people. Yeah, because it's such a small
group. You know, it's got a pretty small audience. I mean,
yeah, it's not very big.
It may make one or two seasons, Mom. I don't know. I'm just. I don't want you to get your hopes up.
It
might get canceled after the first season. So.
Thanks, Justin.
You're very welcome. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of all the shows we talked about. And all right, so moving on. Let's get into some Walking Dead stuff and talk about this whole violence just, I don't know. The producers and everybody behind the show, they have definitely just bumbled this one up in the hiatus. Because during the hiatus, especially after such a divisive first half of the season where a lot of fans kind of jumped off the bandwagon, you had all these terrible ratings numbers. You want things to go smoothly during the hiatus before 7B starts. And it definitely did not go smoothly because Galen Hurd, she came out and she talked about that the show had toned down the violence after backlash of the season 7 premiere, which is crazy to think that a show would do that. So this was some articles. I mean, basically everybody covered this. It wasn't just comicbook.com, but that's the ones that I'm going to reference here in a second, because this is what Galen Hurd had to say about this whole, you know, about the whole Negan scene, basically. The bashing in of Abraham and Glenn Skulls in the season 7 premiere. She said, "We were able to look at the feedback on the level of violence," Hurd said during a panel session at the NATPE conference. I don't know what that is, but, you know, the NATP conference.
Yeah, okay.
And she says, "We did tone it down for episodes we were still filming for later on in the season." So, now, there's one scene in particular, and one of the actor that plays Fat Joey came out and discussed this, because that was one of the scenes where, if you're watching the episode, this was from the episode 8, the mid-season finale, where Norman Reedus, Daryl Dixon, he comes up on Fat Joey outside and he beats Fat Joey to death in a very similar fashion to how Negan beat Abraham and Glenn to death. He beat him with a pipe instead of a bat.
Yeah. Poor Fat Joey.
Yeah,
he was just trying to eat a sandwich. Come on.
He was just trying to. He made that delicious sandwich.
I know, it was so good. That was like a sub. That. Yeah.
I mean, the least Daryl could have done was eat the damn sandwich.
Waste. You've been eating dog food all the time. Grab the freaking sandwich.
So. And now it would have been better had he grabbed the sandwich in one hand and beat Fat Joey with the other hand. That would have been about perfect. The actor that plays him, He said this in an interview. I'm not really sure who this interview was with, but he said, "Yeah, I took a hit. I took a hit on the head from Mr. Norman Reedus, and it was a good hit. Norman Reedus has definitely swung a metal pipe before in his life, I think." He said, "I got hit right square in the head. There was these special effects that they do with the blood packet. They had a blood packet on the pipe, and it just went everywhere. Everybody said it looked so awesome, but also pretty graphic. So I'm assuming that's why they didn't show that angle. They probably had a little too much already with Spencer's guts. But yeah, there was definitely another shot, and I'd like to see that footage." Because we do remember in that shot, it was more or less just Daryl on top of him beating him. You didn't see any of the aftermath. You didn't really see anything else after that, unlike what we saw with Glenn and Abraham, where they definitely like keyed in on their smashed-in brains and everything. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about this? Because it's not the full story, because then, of course, you know, they had to do damage control, and that's when Greg Nicotero, he contradicted Galen Hurd's comments and said that the violence in the premiere was pronounced for a reason. Basically, we'll get into a little bit more of what he had to say, but like, what's your gut feeling on them toning down the violence overall?
My gut feeling is don't change a show for people that suddenly. This show has always been violent. It has always been violent.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think about. I always, you know, I go back to Dale's death. Good God.
Yeah.
I mean, his guts ripping out. Lori's death was just so graphic. Herschel's death, we saw him have his head chopped off. Now, of course, it looked a little more, it wasn't as realistic looking, in my opinion. But no. I think it's a mistake. Mm. I waited until you took a drink before I waited for your answer. So,
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. You know, I'm almost out of booze. I didn't make the giant 52 ounce booze
FYI,
drink.
FYI, this is the second one.
Oh my God. My mom is drinking me under the table here. I'm with you that I think it's definitely not the right move if the showrunners and the producers and the writers and everybody behind the scenes, because I can't say that I wouldn't say that the actors would ever do this. That's not their call. They're just there to read lines, maybe give some input, but they're there to act out what the writers have written. So I wouldn't put this, I would put the onus on them for anything that's happened, but you can't do this. Like, because me personally, I feel like they already did this and they didn't receive as much backlash as they probably should have. I know that during the off season, there was a lot of, you know, uproar over the two deaths, whether or not they would do it and whether or not that was overkill because they were just trying to one up the comic books and everything. Right. And in my opinion, that was the only reason why they did the two deaths, because if you look at it story wise, to me, it doesn't make sense to kill both of them. I get that it makes sense the way that they killed Glenn. So I understand why the second one happened, because of the arc that it put Daryl on. I understand that. But to me, you could have had Daryl accidentally kill Glenn in that fashion anyway, and that would have been the only death, and it would have been Glenn's death, and you would have had Abraham live on.
Right.
You wouldn't have had some of the stuff with Sasha, but at the end of the day, just like we were talking about earlier, you got to have that emotional drama amongst the group, and that could have been more emotional stuff, you know, to play out with Sasha and Abraham. So I feel like they were already listening too much to ratings, too much to reviewers, too much to the fans, and they really, I'm not going to say they upped the violence up, because it was going to be violent regardless if it was one death or two deaths. But to me, I feel like that they were already going down a dark path, and they shouldn't be listening to fans as much. They should do their own thing, should march to their own drum.
Unless they're talking about me.
Well, I mean, unless it's you, Mom, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I agree with you, because we've talked about this in length, that we were not fans of the dual death. That was a bit much. That was the first time that we've watched The Walking Dead that we didn't want to watch the episode again.
Yeah.
And we watched them five and six times apiece.
Yes,
so
we do.
Yeah, so that one just, it was like, ugh. And we weren't obviously the only one that felt that way. I have an issue, and I know they've worked hard to make this happen, but I have a problem with it, and that is trying to follow the comic book too much panel for panel.
Yes.
I need for it to be different. Otherwise, what's the point?
Oh, I completely agree. I'm not a fan of that at all. I know some of the Walking Dead comic book fans, they really, really enjoy that. They love seeing how they adapt these stories to the show and how it looks on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is cool. I'm not gonna sit here and lie and say that it's not cool. Like, when we get,
there's been a couple of things that you've gone, oh my God, I loved the way they did it and looked exactly right. And,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Negan's introduction and, you know, the big, big moments on the show, seeing them go from the comic book to the TV show is really cool. But that being said, I liked the show when it was standing on its own, when it had its, you know, its own character beats that it was playing out. And, you know, they completely diverged from the comic book storyline, because one of the best character dynamics on the show of all time, and probably will never be topped, was Rick and Shane. And that was a choice by the showrunners and the writers to say, we got something great here.
Yeah, let's keep it up.
Yeah, let's keep that rolling and make it an entire focal point of season two, where Shane's character in the comic book, yes, there was obviously tension between him and Rick, but it played out really, really, you know, really quickly in the comic book.
Oh, it was like page two or three that Rick buried him.
Yeah, it wasn't very long into the comic book whenever that was just kind of dispelled and that drama was over with. And
I mean, it would have been up to Scott Gimple, we would have no Daryl. Because and I don't mean to be mean.
Scott Gimple, tell me about this. I haven't heard this.
No, I'm just saying because Scott Gimple is the one that is the huge, huge fan of making it very much like the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to any of his interviews, I mean, he is a very, very much a fan of the book. That's great. I appreciate that. I just don't need it to be the same. I don't want to be able to predict it. I don't want to have somebody that reads the comic book tell me what's going to happen next week because they just read the comic book.
Yeah.
So,
oh, don't get me started on bastards that have all these YouTube videos where they play it off like they've got predictions of the show, and they go by like exactly what happened in the comic book, and they go by exactly what the Spoiling Dead fans say. I'm like, motherfuckers, that ain't predictions. That's just you reading articles and that saying the exact same thing that they said.
Yeah, that bothers me. Yeah. We are not smart enough. No, it's not smart enough. We just aren't. We're not going to do that.
No, I mean,
the stuff that comes out on our stuff is out of our brain, which is very limited.
Yeah, but exactly. It may be limited, but it's ours, people.
It's all ours.
You remember that when you dislike the video and you go like some bullshit ass video where they just read verbatim what happens off of like an article or something. Yeah, I don't know. That pisses me off. Man, you said something really good that I'll get on that little rant, but. Man, what was it? You were pointing out something about the show and the fact that it, not playing it out like the comic books and everything. Yeah, we got
was it
that.
Daryl?
Oh, the Daryl stuff and Scott and Scott Gimple. I don't know. I forgot. Brain's not working all that well because I've got a little booze in my brain. But you're right in the sense that I if we did have somebody like Scott Gimple running the show back then, I don't think that we would have gotten a lot of things differently from the comic book. I mean, that was definitely a point. What is his name right now? Frank Darabont. That was definitely something that he brought to the table. It was storytelling and character drama and high stakes. To me, in my opinion, he was very adept at pulling that off within the framework of the Walking Dead universe. Oh, I know what it was. I was going to say. So the Walking Dead comic books. They're great. They're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good storytelling in there, but I will say that for the most part, you take a show like Game of Thrones that's based off of a book, very, very thick books, big-ass books, lots and lots of words in those books, in those books.
Yep. Extra stuff.
Yeah.
Lots
of extra stuff. Whenever you take a Game of Thrones and you adapt it faithfully from the book to the TV show, I feel like that's okay because there's so much that you're never going to get every little thing on the TV show, but you're going to get little pieces and you may be able to enrich a character that's in the book but didn't get as much background in the book, or you know, maybe they dive a little bit deeper into that character from the Game of Thrones book to the TV show. But with the Walking Dead comic book, to me, there's not going to be as much richness of the characters because it is a comic book. It's like 20 pages, 22 pages or whatever, and that's it. Like, that's all you get. Like, yes, over time, you've developed these characters, but it takes a lot of issues to develop those characters where in a book, in one of, you know, George R. R. Martin's books, you can develop a character in one chapter. But that's just one of 100 chapters that are based on that character. And if they don't come up with storylines to go away from that on the TWD show, then I feel like they're doing themselves a disservice because we do have so many really great characters on the show that they could like have their own storylines and they would make sense as their own storylines, not just like a, you know, ooh, we got to take a little break from the main storyline and let's just throw this other random thing
right
in.
Right, right.
No, that's not how it works to me. But I guess this is way off topic from the violence and everything. But it's an overarching issue, I think, with the show at this point is just kind of, I don't know. I kind of feel like they've they've kind of lost their way a little bit.
I think so too. It's not the violence that we're really having an issue with. I think probably most of us are having an issue with the storytelling.
Yeah, I think so too. And to me, if you look at these articles that have came out talking about the violence and everything, and saying that they toned it down and whatnot, in my opinion, episode 8, not seeing Joey's head bashed in, wasn't a big deal. Like, you don't always have to show that, right?
Oh no, I didn't need to see it. No. Obviously. And I don't feel like really they don't typically I don't know. I think they went out of their way in the season premiere to show us the head bashing. I mean, like every little bloody detail of it. I don't feel like they were going to keep that up throughout the season. I think they were just trying to make a point.
I know, but I think that's the problem, though, is that they need to stop trying to make points, and mm-hmm. they need to start worrying a little bit more about the storytelling aspect that we're all like clamoring for amongst mm-hmm. the Walking Dead community. It's like, yeah, you made your point. You got your 16 some odd million people watching that premiere because they you know, wanted to find out who got their head bashed in, and then they, you know, 7 or so million of them went away, which is fine. At the end of the day, if you get 10 million viewers, that's a hell of a lot of people watching your show.
Yeah, well, and especially, you know, for AMC.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could get 10 million people looking at our YouTube channel, we'd be happy. So it'd be all right.
Yeah, if we could get 10 people looking at it sometimes.
So that would be really awesome.
Then we're really happy.
It's interesting to me because, you know, here we are just a few days from the premiere of the second half. And so I have a lot of friends that are, well, I don't have any friends that aren't Walking Dead because I cut them off. Yeah, they're out. But no one is as excited as typically they are for the return.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's the majority of the people that I interact with as well. Now they're not, well, I would say they're probably more casual fans, but we're more of the hardcore fan group of The Walking Dead. And yeah, like to be completely frank, I was more excited for the premiere of Legion happening this week than The Walking Dead returning. It's not that I'm not excited about The Walking Dead returning. It's just when I see stuff like this, these articles coming out, I feel like where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. So we're possibly in for some trouble.
Most definitely in for some mm-hmm. trouble. The writing structure with the fact that we go away from Rick's story so much instead of weaving other storylines in with Rick's story, I think is an issue. The fact that they definitely are listening to their shareholders. They're listening to the fans, the ratings boards, in the sense of not giving a shit. Like, at the end of the day, don't give a shit what they say. If you put out a good product, that will all go away. All the background mm-hmm. noise of people talking about the violence and crap goes away because people are going to say, holy crap, that moment was so amazing. Whenever, you know, this character did that, I was so just emotionally drained, and so on and so forth.
Right. Okay, exactly. That's how I have told people for years about The Walking Dead. They'll go, oh no, that's just gross, because they just think it's, you know, about zombies and brains.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, the story is so good. It's human emotion and how these characters are making it through. And I don't say that as much anymore. Mm-mm. So that's, to me, that's where it just boils it down.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit of a bummer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give the other side of it, of Nicotero's side. I mean, he did go into quite a bit of detail, talking about the brutality of the show, the violence and everything. And he said that as brutal as that episode 1 was, it's still a part of our storytelling Bible, which is what this world is about. I don't think we would ever edit ourselves. And I think even after looking at that episode 1 again, as tough as it was for people to watch, I don't think we would have done it any differently. I don't think we'll ever pull ourselves back. There's definitely a difference between violence against walkers and human-on-human violence, but truthfully, we're serving our story. I completely 100% agree with him. It, you know, we've seen horrible Walker kills, and we don't bat an eye at that. But whenever we see the human on human violence, it, I mean, it does. I mean, it gets to you a little bit more, just like the Santa Clarita Diet stuff. I mean, it is tough to watch. I don't think that the show is too violent at all, though. I will say that it's not, even the premiere, I don't think it's too violent. I think it was more or less, to me, it just got under my skin a little bit, that I definitely feel like that the only reason why they did it was they wanted to get those big, big ratings, and I felt a little bit cheated by that.
I'm just like I don't want to just keep bragging on and on.
But
I just think that we feel like we're, you know, we're already hardcore fans. We were going to be there. I don't know. Just, you know, think of Justin and I.
Yeah,
that's all. When you write stuff, just think of us. Come on.
Think about writing that story with the sweet boy butt booties.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. More Naked Rick is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we got that since like season 5. So,
No, wait a minute. No, we got Naked Rick and was Michonne. Yeah,
maybe we might get more of that in season 7B. I will say the guy that played Fat Joey, I feel bad for him, because I think he probably should have kept his mouth shut. Because Nicotero even came out against that scene. He said that that didn't happen. We just didn't utilize that scene. So I feel bad for that guy. I think his name is Josh Hoover.
When I saw that he had that interview, I was like, holy shit. AMC is really, really big on them keeping their mouth shut.
Yeah, for sure. Might not be working with AMC anytime soon, that's for sure. All right, so what do you guys think? Do you agree that they're toning down the violence? Do you care about them toning down the violence? In my opinion, I feel like they're going both ways. They're like toning it up, toning it down, maybe. I don't even know if I actually believe that they're toning it down. I don't really think that I do. It just didn't, that scene didn't warrant the extra violence. It was all in Daryl's emotions. It was all in the brutal way that he killed that person, because it's kind of out of character for what we've seen from Daryl in the past.
Right.
So I don't believe that they're toning it down.
I kind of feel like that's the right thing for her to say.
Yeah.
To get those people back.
Oh, yelling her.
Left.
It could be. It could be a very nice tactic by Gellan Hurd to say, hey guys, you know, you were all worried about the violence. Come on back.
It's okay.
Yeah,
the water is now warm. Now it's not super hot. It's just perfectly warm.
Yeah, so we need that ad revenue. A
whole
bunch of it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We could have a whole podcast just about the ads.
Yeah, well, that's why we watch it the next day, and we will be doing that in the back half of season 7B, where we're going to be watching it live on Monday nights on our YouTube page. So make sure you go check us out there. It's Rantpocalypse if you're listening to this in audio form.
Oh,
if you're on our YouTube page
is,
right now, you're right there.
Rantpocalypse.
Yes.
Because I can't spell that part. That's as far as I can get.
Rantpocalypse and apocalypse. A bunch of other stuff. So, all right, so what do we have up next? We've got the... PPP, and what do we think it means and its significance? Because we kind of want to talk about this. This is kind of a theme in the sense of we got PPP, we got the dude in the boots. Those are the biggest mysteries that were left unsolved in the front half of season 7B. So I had some thoughts on PPP. I don't know... You know, I like to PPP every once in a while as well, you know.
Especially after you have two of these.
Yeah.
I am floating here.
Then you're PPPing a lot, right?
Well, no, I mean, I'd like to, but we're on camera. Mm.
Yeah, you can't PPP while we're on camera, Mama. Mm-mm. That would be a little bit embarrassing, so.
And hey, that might get some likes on our channel.
Yeah, Mom pees on channel. Yeah, that's gross.
That's disgusting. You're disgusting.
Like
oh my God.
Another like level of nastiness.
Yeah, please, yeah.
Okay. So do you have any thoughts on PPP?
I have no thoughts on PPP. Let's hear yours.
Okay. So my thoughts are this. There was a scene during the Oceanside episode whenever Tara is, you know, trying to not get killed by this group of women that she comes up upon, and we meet
shoot straight at her.
Yeah, that have some of the worst aim since the stormtroopers in Star Wars, that's for sure. But she meets Cindy, and there's a scene in that episode where Cindy is in her room, and we even talked about this in one of our top five things you may have missed, where we talked about the clock that was in her mm-hmm. room, I believe, and the time that it was displaying. Well, there was another part in that scene where she's looking through maps, and she's like going through the maps, and she's like crossing stuff off. She's circling things. And to me, this ties into, this is totally my theory, my, you know, crazy asinine theory on PPP and how it ties into Cindy, is we see in that episode that that Heath gets either taken away or he has to run away, but Tara comes up upon that PPP card. Mm-hmm. And it's a key card that gets you in some door. So my thoughts are that PPP stands for Potomac Power Plant, because there is an actual Potomac Power Plant that is located in the part of Virginia that they are in as we speak. And it's actually, I think, rather close to where Negan and the Saviors are in Virginia. So I feel like, I don't think Heath's coming back anytime soon. I don't think he's going to be back in season 7B. He's over 24 in it.
Didn't we see him, though, in the trailer?
I don't recall seeing him in the trailer at all for the back half of season 7B. Okay. No, I don't recall seeing it. Maybe there's a new trailer that I haven't seen out, but I don't think so. So this ain't going to happen anytime soon, folks, I don't think. But I do think that the Oceanside community is going to come back into play, specifically Cindy. I think that she's a character that we all liked. I thought she would have been a nice addition to the group. But I think what ultimately may happen is that some of those spots that she was circling on the maps and whatnot is that Potomac power plant. And I mm-hmm. think that Heath got taken to that power plant as it's maybe one of the Savior's additional compounds, similar to what Rick and them raided in season 6. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's how Cindy and Oceanside is going to come back into play. Maybe not in the back half of season 7B, maybe, you know, could very well happen. I know there's been some articles about how they're going to weave in Oceanside with Rick. I think that was one of the articles that was talking about Rick Grimes in the Oceanside community. And I'm like, what? They haven't interacted at all. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of interesting how she was looking at those maps and that Heath found, or well, Tara found that card that had the PPP, and that there is a Potomac power plant, which is three P's. So it would definitely, you know, stand to reason that PPP could mean Potomac power plant.
It could work.
It could work. And I think Cindy is going to save Heath's ass from the Saviors and bring him back in season 8 to
when
be killed.
When 24 Legacy gets canceled.
Yeah, I've heard some rather not so great reviews of that show. So yeah, you know, hey, I'm proud of the dude that he got a new show and everything. And I don't think it's going to hurt him too much if it gets canceled, because he's in like a boatload of movies and whatnot. And he's got The Walking Dead to fall back on. So not
it's a good life for him.
Yeah.
Good life for him. Yeah. No, I think that's a good theory, too. And I mean, I would think if you could take over a power plant, that'd be an awesome place to live, too.
It would be, because when you go to the bathroom, you would have electricity in the bathroom. So you would have running water.
Well, the running water I'm not as worried about. I just want to be able to play video games.
That's true, yes.
I need my electricity.
Yeah, we do need our electricity to play those video games. So that's my thoughts on the PPP. The boots, I so wanted that to be Dwight. I wanted the boots to be Dwight, and, you know, because he's obviously, he hates the crap out of Negan. There's no doubt about that, that he's just like, bitch, yeah. I'm getting ready to make my move.
You are boning my hot wife.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get it one of these days.
He doesn't even care. He's like, you melted my face. Yeah. I don't care. You're boning my hot wife. Yeah. That's the part that hurts. So
that's just not cool, man. You just don't bone another dude's hot wife. especially not right in front of his face, unless he asks for it. You know, if he asks for it, that's different.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have to pay extra for that, though.
You might have to pay extra for that. But I think this is one of those ones where I was a little bit annoyed with other prediction videos out there on these boots predictions, because so many people just straight up spoiled it who it was, because they had read the Spoiling Dead fans and they knew exactly who the boots belonged to, but they played it off like, who's these boots belong to? Oh, I know exactly who they belong to.
Oh, yeah, because I'm so smart.
Yeah.
I figured this shit out.
Yeah, super annoying. I'll just say I'm not going to get into who it is, because I don't think our listeners of the podcast and a lot of our people that watch us on YouTube, I don't think they follow those spoilers quite as closely. I'll just say that I'm disappointed that more than likely it ain't going to be Dwight. So I am disappointed in that.
I didn't think it was Dwight. I mean, I can't at this point remember who I'd have to look through my pages and pages of notes.
Yeah.
But I have avoided spoilers.
Good for you.
I'm pretty good at that.
Good it's called for you.
Hiding from the internet.
Yes.
So
I wish I would have hidden from the internet on this one, because, yeah, I think I know exactly what's going to happen, because some asshole said in his YouTube video description that he was going to talk about who's in these boots, and then he just, proceeded to tell exactly who those boots belong to.
In his video description.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
This is what I'm right there, asshole. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad you got those hundreds of thousands of views for that, dick. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving on. I think that's, my thoughts on PPP and the boots. So... Mm-hmm. I think it's time to get into the fantasy death draft. This is the part that I've been looking forward to the most, is getting into the fantasy death draft. I'm going to pull up the rules here. Do you want to go over the rules?
Sure. I'll go over the rules.
Yeah, you get them rules, Mom.
Okay. All right. So, again, it's the Zompocalypse Fantasy 5. Let me pull on the glasses for this part.
Let me pull on the readers.
Sexy librarian. That's what you're going to go with, is sexy librarian, not just, you know. Okay, so, and again, we will have, shut up, Justin. we'll have this whole thing for you so you can pick your people. But you're basically going to pick characters from this list of characters that are still alive in the show. And they're the ones that are going to keep you alive through the Zompocalypse. And as long as your current episode in score is positive, then you are alive. If your current episode score is negative, then you are dead and you're out of the game.
Boo.
Justin.
You're going to be dead Justin. By the first episode.
What?
You're going down, Mom.
Whatever. And we've got a pretty good list of characters.
Yes.
So we'll pick four from this good list, and then we have to pick a fifth character who is our wild card from the bad list, because there is no list. You just have to
remember who the hell is on the show.
Exactly, somebody else. And so, of course, you know, we have our main cast of characters, Rick and Daryl and Maggie and Carl, Michonne, Carol, Morgan, Sasha, Tara, Eugene, Rosita, Father Gabriel, Aaron, Dwight, Jesus, Gregory. How did Gregory make this list?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to talk to the girls about that, because Gregory should not be on that. Mm-mm. King Ezekiel and Negan.
That is a good list of characters to choose from, and we pick four of those, right?
We pick four of those.
Okay.
So, and once again, I did not page down.
Yeah, you missed all the actual scoring, because you're just I just picked four of these characters, and then that's it.
I don't even know how I'm supposed to make a score in this. So do you want
to... I'll go into the points and everything. So,
okay.
So you pick one of those four characters, then you get a fifth character, like you said, that's a wild card that you just pick randomly from the rest of the characters on the show.
And again, Justin's drinking, so it's not you pick one of those four characters. You pick four of them.
Yeah.
The buttload of characters.
Yes, exactly. You've got to pick your teams before this episode starts this Sunday. So make sure you get on there. You can go on our Facebook page, which is The Ranting Dead, or you can go on the Brains Got Bad Facebook page and find this list and make sure, just put in the comments of who your picks are and everything. And we'll try to work on keeping score, you know, throughout the season. So and if you could keep score for yourself, would be even better, because you know we're not very good at that. Math not our strong suit, you know. So all right, so this is what's going to happen in the rules. So if a character dies on your team, you play without that character until either the end of the midseason or end of the season, which is for us, since we're coming in the middle, it's going to be until the end of the season. So you can't play with that character obviously anymore, because they ain't going to get any more points. Your character death must meet two of the following three following criteria: death is shown, showrunner confirms the death, or a character appears in the memoriam section on the Talking Dead after show.
Yeah, I mean, haven't we had showrunners say, oh yeah, Glenn's dead?
I mean, they took his ass out of the opening credits.
Exactly.
And they had an in memoriam for him, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember about that. I know he was still under the trash can.
Yeah, he was under that garbage can. That old Wiley Glenn. Too bad he didn't have another. He needed more damn trash can.
I know.
Sons of bitches, Nicotero and Gimple should have gave him another trash can.
Why did you have to kill Glenn?
I know.
Anyway.
I still cry about it.
Okay. Me too.
Okay. All right. So here's how the scoring is going to go, and we added in our own additional scoring rules to this as well that we will make sure we post on our Facebook page. But scoring is: kill a zombie, plus 1 point. Mercy kill of a bitten/infected live human, plus 2 points. You neutralize a dead human, 1 point. An injury to your team member, it must be visible. You got to have blood showing. You got to have a sweet eye patch or a bandage. A bruise or a limp, that's minus 1 point. Ooh, you don't want to get any injuries. A zombie bite or a scratch, and you live with amputation of extremity. So if you pull a Herschel and you get bit and somebody chops half your leg off, or if you're Bob and you get multiple parts of your body, you know, eaten off, but you still live for that episode, you get plus 5 points.
And obviously, we want people that are going to be chopped up on our team, because you get the sweet 5 points.
Yeah, you get lots of points for getting limbs chopped off.
All right, so, and Justin, what's the part that we added?
Oh, well, there's still one more. If you kill a living, uninfected human with no other contributing factor, that's minus 2 points. Now, we got to get rulings on this, because we were like, what the hell? If you kill another human, what if that human's an asshole? What if that human took your peanut butter or something and you killed him for it? Why would you get minus 2 points? But we're going to go. This is the Brains Gone Bad rules. We're going to play along with those rules. But we're going to add in our own rules of if you kill a savior, that's plus 3 points. So if one of our group, one of our four or one of our five members that we select kills another savior, we get 3 points.
Okay, and again, that little extra ruling there, that's just on our competition, because I think they're actually going to give prizes. So have to declare yourself on their page so that you can be in on the prizes.
Yeah,
so
you're just trying to beat us, you know?
Which is not hard.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah, you might as well just give up. But if you really want to try, you can.
Yeah,
and you can play with our rules. And then the last rule that we made up is if one of our five team members on our team lets one of our team die to a savior, that's minus 3 points. And that's like anybody of the of Rick's group, of King Ezekiel's group, like any of the good guys.
Yeah.
If one of our team members is directly responsible or causes the death of another group member, that's minus 3 points. Is that understandable? Did I relay that good enough?
I think so. I think you did an excellent job. All right.
So let's do this, Mom.
Okay.
Let's pick our characters, and we're going to go, you go, and then I go.
Wait a minute. If you were doing a regular draft, don't you pick one at a time and take turns?
No, that's what I said. You go and I go.
Okay, one at a time.
I think my mom's the one that's got the
whatever.
The
I thought you were going to try. You're trying to get all my picks all at once is what I thought you were trying to do.
No. Okay. You pick first and I pick.
Kelly O'Neill.
With a first selection.
Her first pick is Rick Grimes.
Woo! Rest in peace, speakers right there, guys. Rest in peace.
Sorry.
All right, so you pick Rick Grimes with your first. Yeah. And by the way, you can obviously have people that cross over with different teams. So I can pick Rick. She can pick Rick. Doesn't matter. Okay, so your first pick is Rick Grimes.
Yes.
All right.
Who's your first pick?
I almost wish we could. We made it where we couldn't pick.
I kind of wish that too.
Okay, no, let's do that. For our purposes.
For ours.
Yeah, we have to go against each other. We can't pick the same people. So with my first pick, because this motherfucker's out for blood, I'm picking one, Daryl, D in your face, Dixon.
Shit.
Yeah, shit is right because this dude's about to go ham on some motherfuckers. All right.
My second pick is Rick's baby boy, Carl.
You're going with Carl mm-hmm. Big Papa Grimes.
Exactly, because, I mean, dude is stepping up. Who stepped more up to the plate than
That's
Carl?
True. That's very true. A part of me wants to put this on our screen here. Maybe I should do that. You think I should?
I think if you put anything on the screen, the thing is all going to blow up. Now, I don't know.
That's true. It could. It could blow up. This is all new computer. This is all new stuff. It could very well blow up if I add
more.
We're
lucky to have the green screen.
Exactly. And it's actually recording. We think. If you don't get any episode out of this, then you know
that's
it
why.
Did not record.
That's
so
exactly.
All right. So you picked Carl Grimes. I'm gonna go with so many good choices here.
Not very many left after I took the best ones.
I think I'm gonna go with Michonne. Michonne takes a lot of walkers out, and as you know, if we read the scores, kill a zombie, that's plus 1 point. So I'm going to go with the team so far of Daryl and Michonne.
Okay. All right. I've never done the fantasy. You've done a lot of fantasy football.
I've done a lot of fantasy, yes.
Okay. See, this is not fair. Because
you've got the first pick.
I got the first pick. Like I didn't think about it because I thought, I was gonna get pick four and I didn't know.
You picked that Carl Grimes.
I know, I really meant Michonne.
Oh well, too bad. It's so sad, Mom.
Okay. So my next pick. All right. Well, I'm gonna have to go on down and grab me some Negan.
Oh man, I can't believe. It's kind of bad that neither one of us picked that because, I mean, who knows with Negan? He may kill a savior as well because he's just like I'm gonna burn your face off. So that counts, people.
That counts. Extra points,
If he kills a savior, that still counts as plus 3 points.
So far, my team's looking pretty damn good.
But he could also cause one of your teammates to die pretty easily to the hands of a savior. So he could also get you minus 3 points like that. You got to think about those things, Mom. You got to think.
What I'm telling you. I've never done this before. You've done this.
I have done it quite a bit. I got a championship to prove it that I've done it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you picked your third one, and my third one is going to be... Man, I feel like the triple trifecta of these badass women is going to do me right. So it's down to Carol, Sasha, or Rosita. Rosita. Okay. I'm gonna pick. I'm not quite on board with Carol getting shit done. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick. Even though Rosita, she really fucked things up. And she directly caused one of our members to die in episode 8. So that would have been minus 3 points.
but that's episode 8.
Yeah. That's episode 8. So I'm going to go with Rosita as my number 3 choice. So we're down to our final pick of the group that you can, of the eligible characters. Then we get a wild card.
Okay. I pick Dwight.
Man, what? I don't know about that pick, Mom.
Well, I'm just going, I'm hoping that he's not going to kill any of our people. He's not going to do it. So I'm not going to get any of the minus 3. He's going to kill he gets lots and lots of Walker kills. Dude gets a lot of Walker kills.
Yeah, he gets a lot of Walker. That's right.
So.
Okay.
I mean, what's done is done.
I want to throw stones at your shitty picks, but,
Loser says what?
Loser says what indeed, Mom. Loser says what indeed. Okay. All right. So with my final pick.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess this is not technically our final pick.
No, it's not.
So this isn't the final pick, but this is our fourth pick, and I am going with one Maggie Green.
Oh, shitty pick, dude.
Oh, please. Maggie Green's about to go off.
Maggie Green is pregnant. That's why I didn't
bring
her on my team. She's expecting a baby.
This ain't real life. This ain't real life, woman. Because she may be pregnant on the show, but you saw how many walkers she killed in that one episode.
Okay. Once she starts putting a little show on, everybody's going to protect her. She's going to stay at the Hilltop. She's going to run the stuff at Hilltop. So you just lost.
No, I think you lost with that Carl Grimes selection.
No, bullshit. That one's going to win the whole thing.
Season 7B is not happening. Not happening. She's not going to get the big baby bump in season 7B. So sorry, Mom, but I'm going to call that you.
What is she going? She going to be like pregnant as long as Lori was?
Exactly. She's going to be it's going to be season 15, and Maggie's still got the bump and everything because the writers sometimes they forget real world time as opposed to TV show time. So all right. So who is your wild card? You got one more selection here in the the Zompocalypse Fantasy 5 draft.
I think this is actually going to be the character that is probably going to win it for me, Justin, because I just dropped in Richard.
Man, Richard.
Richard. Oh. You know who Richard is?
I know who Richard is, and I know I've already, Richard, I'm like, yeah, that dude's definitely going to die real quick. Real quick.
But he's the only one I can remember. Yeah. Who else is there? I don't even know who else there is.
Well,
I know one other one. Ah, damn it. Shit.
I mean, I may let you rethink this one. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I want to beat you. So, I mean, I don't know if I. I mean, I know you're my mom. I know you made me. I may have to destroy you, Mom, on live YouTube and over audio form.
All right, who are you picking?
It's a toss-up right now. I got some juicy picks right here. I mean,
you're gonna feel really bad when you beat me.
Oh man, I think I'm gonna. I mean, I don't even think it's gonna be a contest though. So like, I would have felt bad if I beat you by like 1 or 2 points, but when I beat you by 100, then I don't feel bad about that.
So, yeah, I feel it. I still don't think it's going to happen anyway. So you just go ahead and give me your pick here.
Rick Grimes better kill a lot of people in the back half. Okay.
He's gonna.
All right. It's tough. It's down to two choices for me.
Okay.
And I think...
You pick Fat Joey.
Yeah, exactly. Fat Joey, come on down. No, I think with a final selection in the Zompocalypse Fantasy 5, Justin selects... Shiva. Pew, pew, pew. That's it.
Nope,
game
nope,
over.
Nope,
game
nope.
over. Game over.
Oh, damn, their stupid wording.
I know. They did not say that it could not be an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say that.
Pick any character.
Pick any character. Shiva happens to be a character on the show. And Shiva is about to eat a lot of saviors in the back half of season 7B.
Shit.
Shit is right, Mom. I'm so sorry. I'm going to go ahead and accept my championship trophy right now. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know this because I didn't tell you about it beforehand, but it's a $500 prize that is to be awarded by the loser. So
whatever.
PS4 Pro, it's going to look really nice on my gaming mantle right there. So,
damn it. Okay, so you picked Daryl, Michonne, Rosita, and what other loser?
Maggie Green, you know, that loser. And
you
Shiva.
You have three girls on your team.
Technically, I have four girls on my team.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm going to call my
one
team.
One is CGI. I'm just, I'm thinking that it's disqualification.
I'm going to go with my team name is Bad Bitches and a Dixon. So.
Oh my God. Oh, yep. Come up with a good name for mine.
I lost.
I didn't know we had to come up with a clever name.
I didn't either, but I just came up with that one. It just worked in my favor. You know, Bad Bitches and a Dixon. That's a t-shirt right there. Like,
that is a t-shirt.
I need a Shiva, Maggie, Rosita, Michonne, and then Daryl and Bad Bitches and a Dixon.
So, yeah, that's excellent.
Somebody make that for us and then give us the monies.
Mine is just going to be my team for now. Kelly's team.
Yeah, Kelly's team.
Fuck that Carl, one-eyed son of a...
Who's on your team? You got Rick, Carl... Man, second pick with Carl. Oh God. Okay, Negan.
Negan, and Dwight.
And then who else?
And Richard.
I'm gonna say Negan is Carl's second dad. So your team name, My Two Dads. There you go, My Two Dads.
Okay, thank you. That's perfect. That's all right. My Two Dads. All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Okay. All right. So we want to know you guys' picks. Like, have fun with us. I think this is going to be a whole lot of fun. Brains Got Bad, you guys rock for coming up with this. This is a really, really cool game that I'm personally like, this gets me even more invested in the back half of season 7B. Even though we said all those things about the fact that we're not super jazzed about it as much as we typically are, that just means that, you know, we're typically like at the top and now we're like right there, like right by the top, you know, like you're borderline breaking the top, but just
okay.
A little bit.
Can I say just one thing?
Yeah.
I mean, this was my original plan for who I was picking. I mean, I had Carl picked anyway.
Oh, you did.
But yeah, this Rick, Carl, Michonne, and Daryl, that was my team.
Oh, of course. I mean, sure, that was your team.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was my team. That's going to be everybody's team, right?
Yeah.
So, Daryl's still in motorcycle position because on the shelf, he's supposed to be on a motorcycle.
He's just permanently riding the air motorcycle. So, very nice. All right. Well, that's the Zompocalypse Fantasy Five draft. That was a whole lot of fun. Do you want to get into the last little bit of our listener feedback? Just because I know we've been going for quite some time now, but I would feel bad if we didn't discuss some of these really great questions that we got from our listeners, because you guys are awesome. Y'all kick ass. So, all right.
Yes, that's very true.
You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I completely forgot to bring up some of our listener feedback about the violence. Dumb. I'm a dumb when it comes to that sometimes. I even wrote my notes like, this person said this, and this person said this. We're out of practice, you know? It's
been exactly. I mean, we've not done this in quite a while.
Yeah, it has been quite a while. All right, do you have the listener feedback up? Or I can pull, I've got it right here in front of me. So if
I have it in front of me as well.
Okay.
But you just start, and then I'll figure out where the hell you are.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just go down from the top. So,
okay.
Because this one actually was really good. I like this one a lot. This is from Brad. He said, I think I'm finally going to be vindicated in my belief that Enid is a spy. only for the saviors instead of the wolves. Read the synopsis and check out the pic of Enid addressing the group. I haven't read the synopsis. Oh, actually, I guess I did, because I read it in that video about Eugene being a traitor. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm. the synopsis says something along the lines of one of our group members will betray it. We'll be a traitor, something along those lines. And I have seen a lot of people talking about it could be potentially Enid. She was always supposed to be the spy for the wolves. That never came to fruition. But this is what Brad has to say. Brad could be the million-dollar winner of the best prediction ever, because he says she's going to reveal that she has been a spy for the saviors.
Can I take another drink, Justin?
I don't have anything.
Take another drink.
I'm done. But yeah, take two on that read. She's going to reveal that she has been a spy for the saviors, and they put in parentheses, just survived somehow, and will offer to act as a double agent since she now has feelings and attachments in the group. Negan will catch on to this, and she will receive Holly's comic book fate. Not going to go into what happens to Holly, but it ain't good.
But it's not good. It's not good. Yeah.
It's not very good. So.
Yeah. Enid was another one we could have drafted.
Yeah, could have drafted.
But
Enid.
But after Brad's, why would we draft her since she's probably.
Yeah, you damn traitor.
Yeah, exactly. No. All right, so Sue Ellen.
Oh wait! Well, I was going to ask. Do you think that she's a traitor? Do you think that's a possibility?
She's always been really sketchy to me.
Yeah.
If we have to pick somebody that's a traitor, I could go with that easier than I can pick the Eugene. Sorry, Justin.
Shit about
sorry.
Video, huh? Even
sorry. I love. I loved your video.
Oh, appreciate it.
And I appreciate that you put it out there, and your green screen looks great.
Yeah.
And but
your theory is shit.
Your theory is shit. So, I think it could very likely be her. What about you?
I think it could make for some interesting story. I like how Brad incorporated the "just survive somehow," because I don't think Enid would deliberately do that. I don't think that she would spy on Rick and the group out of any kind of malice or intent to hurt or harm them, but whenever you see Negan and his group, I mean, they're pretty damn scary looking, so JSS, you gotta survive somehow, and maybe that could sway her to do that. I don't think it's gonna happen though, because I feel like I don't know, I mean, it could be very interesting. I would like it more if Enid was the spy as opposed to Eugene.
We would feel horrible if Eugene was.
Yeah.
Although we do know, he's someone that would just survive somehow. I mean, obviously, that's, he lied to all these people before.
Yeah.
So it could happen.
It could. It could very well happen. So.
All right. Now you're ready to go on?
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. Let's get to the next one.
So Sue Ellen, she was talking about the violence. And all I wanted to say is she said that it was not too violent. So thank you very Ellen. Thank you very much, Sue Ellen.
See, people, this is what happens. It's getting late. The end of the podcast, and you've had a lot of booze.
Yeah.
And you worked a long ass day of work.
Yes.
Then you start to say, thank you, Helen. Or whatever it was you said. I don't even know.
Ellen. I said, thank you, Ellen.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it was supposed to be, thank you, Sue Ellen.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
But I agree with her. We already talked about it. We both agree. We don't think the show's too violent.
Yes. Okay. What all did you want to cover here?
Well, I really like Tanya's, and I meant to bring this up earlier, but we got on our little tangent and everything.
Tangent?
I know, exactly. It never happens, right? Tanya said, I'm not a comic book reader, but find that the closer it follows the comic, the more viewers it loses. In the beginning, the show played more like a movie, then it transitioned to a well-scripted TV show. Now it feels like the drama plays to each memorable comic panel, and while that works for the comic, it doesn't work for TV. It's losing me. Thoughts?
Yeah.
This would have been so much better said than whatever the hell it was I said earlier, because it's so much more succinct and to the point that I was trying to relay earlier of, it does feel like we're going from one...
I was the one that said it!
Oh, well,
I was the one that said it. Don't be trying to say you were all not succinct. You didn't say it at all.
Well, I don't
it
remember
was
what I
me.
Said. Well, okay. Well, you said it, but
But yes, I told him, Tanya and I are like simpatico on this.
You are. You are hive minds on this one. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Tanya. Because, or actually, it may be Tanya. Sorry, it may be Tanya. Because yeah, it does feel lately that it has. It's just been, you know, really badass moment, and then we just kind of like, kind of go along for a little bit. Another big badass moment. It definitely has felt like all we have the mid or the season premiere, crazy shit goes down, then lots and lots of build up for the mid season finale. Big shit goes down.
Yeah.
You know, and then we like regroup. Then big shit goes down at the end of the season premiere or the finale, and that's no way to do a show. I mean, for example, a lot of the shows that that I've been watching over the break. I mean, there's lots of really good stuff in between the first and the last episode. It doesn't always have to play out that way, where like your biggest stuff happens in the first and last episode. Game of Thrones, again, I hate to go back to that, but that's a show that's a perfect example that. You know, in episode 4 or 5 of this most recent season, like, holy shit, like, some crazy stuff went down. And you don't have to always follow that formula. And I agree
they are cookie cutter in their formula, which is very frustrating, because once you become a faithful viewer, you know, okay, no, not much is going to happen in this one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not where they normally do it. And they obviously can surprise us some, but...
It just felt like they haven't lately, though. Like
they haven't. They don't... That's what we need, is more surprises.
Yes, I agree. More surprises, and I think that they'll gain some of those viewers back, as opposed to just tuning in to the premiere, mid-season finale, and the finale. Like, that's when they get their biggest viewer count, because people are accustomed to this formula now. So
they're trained. We're all trained.
Yeah, they've trained us.
One of the things that Evan wrote that I thought was really awesome was he asked, how long does Negan survive? Well, honestly, I hope he survives till the end of the season, because he's one of my characters.
Yeah. You're like, he best survived, damn it.
I picked him. But he was wondering, you know, does he make it into season 8? Because, you know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is awesome. Yeah. And Negan is a character that they really have not explored very well, nor have they explained him. And he's right.
Yeah, I think Evan can rest easy, and you can rest easy. But you got to worry about him killing a lot of our core group, because that's some minus some points. But no, I think... Yeah, he's going to be around for the foreseeable future, no doubt.
See, okay, what I was kind of thinking, and this is something that, sorry, I'm going back to my draft.
Oh, yeah, I mean, now you understand, no. See? This is what I go over. Remember during the podcast when you're talking shit to me, when I'm talking about, oh, man, my fantasy pick, he did this, he did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're living it.
You know the strategies that go behind this. I'm just picking names going, and now I know their strategy. Well, thanks for telling me that, Justin. You suck as a son. Dwight, I'm feeling like Dwight's going to switch over. He's not staying. Yeah. He's not going to stay with the Saviors. He's coming over to our group. So
that could be lots of points for you. I mean, killing a Savior is plus 3 points. So...
Yeah,
to get out of the compound and get away,
right. he may have to a shit ton.
Yeah, he may have to cut some bitches on his way out. So
exactly.
I mean, that's a good strategy. It's just you okay. Got to hope that he counteracts all the cutting of said bitches that Negan does against our group. So,
we added that ourselves, didn't we?
We did.
So
we did.
Okay, so I may do really well in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But. Not so great in our competition.
Yeah. You may blow them away, but in ours it might be. It's gonna be an uphill battle for you, I think. With picking two members of the Saviors at this point. Now I'm with you. I think Dwight's gonna eventually, you know, jump on Team Rick.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know. Daryl may not. Did you say you two? You're gonna jump on Team Rick? Yeah, I caught that. I know.
Okay.
You tried to be subtle with it, but
I was just doing a
straight
to the camera.
Yeah, well, I know you were. Okay, so last one from. Actually, I like this question because we haven't talked about this, and we normally do this before, is like kind of give our death predictions. We won't go into all of our death predictions and go by one, character at a time. But Evan says, which member of Team Rick is next to go? I consider Team Rick those to have crossed state lines with him. I don't necessarily know if that's an accurate definition of Team Rick, but it's the way I see it as of now. Yeah, I agree with you. So Team Rick is kind of like the core group that's been around for a while, the Michonnes, Carl's, at this point,
Carol's.
Maggie, Carol, Morgan. So who do you think? Who's your number one choice to die in the back half of season 7B?
Not Rick
Yeah.
or Carl.
That's true. Yeah, anybody else is fair game, I think.
And it's so funny because I knew we were going to be doing recording tonight, and so I was actually in the hairdresser's
Yeah.
chair. That's why I have straight hair, because I just, when somebody else does it, I'm like, I'm not fighting those curls, but you can.
Yeah.
So I asked her, I said, who do you think's going to die? And she's like me, we couldn't figure out somebody to say. I mean, for the longest time, I mean, my God, how long was Carol on our list?
A long time, and she still has not ha it still hadn't happened. So
Yeah. So I honestly, I have no pick. I have no
no
pick.
pick.
Shiva. I pick Shiva.
Shiva,
Oh,
well, before Shiva goes, she's about to wreck shop. So yeah, I think it is more difficult to pick somebody that we think is going to die of the core Team Rick in the back half of season 7B, just because we've had a lot of deaths in the front half of, well, I wouldn't say a lot of deaths, but we've had some pretty significant deaths. We had Spencer, we had Abe, we had Glenn, we had Olivia. I can't remember if anybody else died. Am I forgetting
Well,
anybody?
okay, so would you consider Sasha a core member?
Yes, yeah, I would consider Sasha because she has crossed state lines with the group.
Okay.
So,
Because I think she's going to die.
I know that they've addressed this, like Nicotero, I think, and maybe Gimple did. They addressed the fact that she got cast in Star Trek and what that meant for her on the show, because she is a pivotal character. There's a lot of good juicy stuff to get into with the loss of Abe and how that affects her psyche in the back half of season 7B. So I'm with you. I think Sasha, I'd hate to see her go, but I definitely think with being cast in that show and just knowing what I know in the comic book, I could see her being one of the characters that could go in the back half of, like, some act of passion. She tries to kill Negan, and it's kind of like not the smart decision. She's surrounded by a bunch of saviors, but tries to take a shot a la Rosita. But she actually gets the bad part of it and gets killed. I'm gonna go. What was that?
I was just to say I mean, they're gonna feel the need to sacrifice somebody, I think.
Yeah, they always do. I mean, or at
Right.
least they seem to feel that way.
So I'm sorry, go ahead with your pick.
Oh no. I'm gonna say Gregory. I'm gonna say Gregory dies. Oh, he's not Team Rick. Sorry, sorry. That was just random
Please, I
picks.
mean, come
Yeah,
on.
my bad. My bad.
Gregory, I hope Gregory
Yeah, you're
dies.
like, please, Gregory die.
In the next episode, I hope we come back and he's gone.
No, I don't want that.
So,
I like the actor. I think he's great on the show. I want him to stick around.
yeah,
He brings the
and he is.
drama that we're talking about. Like
He
he,
does,
you
he
know, he,
does.
we,
He
I
annoys
think,
the piss out of me,
yeah,
so.
we need characters like him on the show. Characters like Spencer, and we need those types of characters on the show. Okay, I'm gonna go with Carol. I'm gonna go back to Old Faithful, and I'm gonna say Carol Evan. Carol is my choice that she goes. She finally gets the death that we've been predicting for the last four
By
seasons.
Shiva.
No, Shiva's.
Because you'll get extra points.
Well,
No,
that's true.
you won't.
I won't. I'll get minus 3 points. Yeah,
That's right.
that's
So
you're
I can
wanting that.
only hope that
Yeah,
that happens.
you can only
I'll
pray that
figure out this
Shiva.
whole scoring things. I
Yeah,
don't freaking know.
Shiva's
Am
like,
I
that's my
guy
man.
still alive?
Yeah.
All right. Do I win?
Yeah, do I get all the points? And then Andrew asked, what actor slash actresses would you like to see in the series? I already got mine right now. And it is, I would like to see, I think this is my pick. I think I would like to see Vinnie Jones as Beta. So it's a character that's in the comic books. Of course, you know, you know what we'd like to see in the series. They can't well, hopefully they don't recast anybody. But yeah, I'm gonna say Vinnie Jones as Beta. That's I was thinking about Kevin Durand as Beta. That's but I don't know if he could do the because Beta. Spoiler alert! His appearance. He's a big ass dude, but he's got a Friar Tuck thing going on his head. I think so, or at least due to something he wears, he may have a Friar Tuck. I can't remember if he actually has a Friar Tuck, but that's it. Vinnie Jones as Beta, I think, would be a lot of fun.
Okay, my answer is Ryan Gosling as any fucking buddy he wants to be.
Anybody he wants, and singing, and of course, you know, he's got to bring some singing to the show.
And oh my God, please take off your shirt.
Yeah, that's...
so there's my trifecta. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Andrew Lincoln, and Ryan Gosling. So, oh, and, you know, I mean, we can see a little Norman Reedus arms.
There
so
you go.
I'm good.
I can't believe you. I mean, you could have picked, you know, you could have picked Rick, Aaron, Father Gabriel, Jesus. You could have, neither one of us picked Jesus. I didn't even think about that. How did we not pick Jesus?
Because Jesus doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah, he doesn't kill a lot.
That was why I didn't pick him.
Well,
I did pick Rick.
I know, Rick but you could have picked. That's what I'm saying. Your choices could have been because I wouldn't have picked them.
Okay. Could have been who Rick. Would you pick?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you could have picked mm-hmm. Rick. You could have mm-hmm. picked Aaron, Father Gabriel, and Jesus, and then you could have picked Negan as well. And you could have had the ultimate team name of all time. And that was the Cute Booty Boys, I think is what you said earlier. I can't remember what it was, but that could have been your team name.
Sweet boy ass, I think is what I said.
I think you said booty because it was even creepier. I think you said sweet boy booty, I think is what you said.
I think
what a team name. That could have been the team name. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it. We've gone super long for our... first podcast back in forever. It's been a long time. We haven't actually done a podcast, I think, since episode 7, because we didn't do a full podcast for episode 8. We just did our little mini review thing. So it's been a while. Hope you enjoyed this.
Losers.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed this train wreck of a podcast that it typically is, the dumpster on fire, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. It was a lot of fun. And let us know all your thoughts on what you're excited for in the back half of season 7B, your fantasy Zompocalypse fantasy 5 draft picks.
Yep.
Yeah, let us know all those
I can't wait to hear that. That's what I really want to hear.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be really mm-hmm. cool seeing other people's picks. We want you guys to play along with us, so make sure you go to Facebook. It's The Ranting Dead. You can check out Brains Gone Bad on Facebook as well and go see their picks and go, you know, put your picks in there as well. And definitely, if you're listening to this in audio form, go check out our YouTube channel because we will have additional content that you won't get on the podcast each and every week for The Walking Dead. And I think that's it, Mom.
I think it is.
I think I guess they could email us too, rantpocalypse@gmail.com if you want to email us your picks that way. So that's it. Hope you guys
are
going to
check
it.
The email. I'm sorry. Are you checking the email? All right.
I'm checking that email. rantpocalypse@gmail.com.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not going to check the email and he's going to say, oh, sorry, man. I didn't see this in time. You didn't get in.
Sorry, man.
I'm telling you right now. That's what's going to happen.
As long as you get him in before the episode airs, you're in. So even if I didn't see it and it's episode 3 already, as long as you were keeping your own score, you're still good.
All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun getting back together and chit-chatting about all things Walking Dead and whatever the hell else we want to talk about. make sure, again, we will be watching the episodes live on Monday nights throughout the back half of season 7, and that'll be on our YouTube channel, which is Rantpocalypse. So that's it. That's all we got. We're done.
All right.
Bye,
all right,
guys.
Let's do the flying high five again.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Ready?
One, two.
Bam.
Oh, shit. Are we
totally, did I go too far?
I got to go up.
Here,
you're totally missing out on this on audio form, guys. I'm sorry.
But all it's right. great.
We got,
ready?
No, we got to do slow-mo high five. All right. This is what we're leaving out on, guys. We love you guys. Three, two, one.
who's really slow.
Tell you.